I honestly feel like I can handle or do any business I want. Why? Not because I'm super smart. I don't think that at all. It's literally just because I've done this, I've structured it in a way. Now, it might be different from another business, but I know that I've failed here, right? But I went like this and then I succeeded.
Yeah.
So if I fail in another business that I do, I'll just maneuver and I'll figure it out.
I think.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to episode 19 of the Vibes Podcast. I'm your co-host, Medvin.
And now I'm Ted.
I'm Medvin and you're Ted. Anyway, so as you guys can see, our guests are these two plants for today. We decided that today we were just gonna do a little
We're gonna interview two.
we're gonna interview ourselves, but we just we wanted to tell you guys where we're headed.
Nah, man, dude, that's.
I'm kidding, bro.
No, I think we should start over, man.
Bro, let it run. So, how's your day, man? You want to tell me a story, but you want to save it for the podcast.
Oh, well, I was gonna talk about my week
Go
because you
ahead.
asked me
The
earlier how
entire
my.
week? I don't want to hear about the entire week.
But yeah, you asked me how my week was, and I just said, oh, it was whatever, work besides yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah,
You
was
tell
it?
me. Well, today's Thursday, so Wednesday?
Yeah, it was
What happened?
yesterday. Nothing, yesterday I was working, and then
And that's it.
yeah, I was working, and then Ani was working. Ani's my girlfriend, and she called me when she got off work. It was about like 4:30, 5, something like that. And she's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm hungry." She's like, "Okay, me too." I said, "Okay, come pick me up." Because my car was far, there was no parking here, so I had to park far. So she drove. She picked me up, and we were driving. We decided we
She
were gonna
picked
go.
you up from here.
She picked me up from here, and we were going to Hot Wings Cafe. Shout out to Hot Wings. We were gonna go eat, we're gonna go have lunch, and then
Hey, if anyone has Eric's number, Hot Wings owner.
the owner of Hot Wings.
No, I know Eric. I just don't know. I don't even know if he has an Instagram. But if you know him, let him know I want to speak with him. I want to get him on the show.
I think
But
that'd be cool, yeah, to get him on.
anyway, go, what were you saying?
But anyway, we were going out there to have lunch, and then it's on Brand, and we're driving from Glen Oaks. My office is on Pacific, and we're going towards Brand, and then on the only to turn onto to Brand, we're driving, and then all of a sudden we're like literally just driving, and out of
Wait,
nowhere,
she's driving or you're
she's
driving?
driving.
Okay.
She's driving on passenger. Out of nowhere. Boom,
Boom.
boom! Like a car hit us from the back, and
Okay.
we were so shocked. Like, I don't know if
So
you guys.
you're saying it from the back, but it's you're turning, so wasn't it to the side?
Well, we were on the only about to turn, make the turn, but
Okay.
before we were able to do it, like he literally just like smacked onto us from the back. And I don't know if you guys have ever gotten to an accident, and I hope not, but that initial like feeling, you're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And we were at first, we were like, holy shit. And then me and Ani were in the car, and I said, "On, relax." She was obviously like, we were both like kind of like shook up. I'm like, "Relax, don't move, don't do anything." Because we were like on a pretty busy, it was like 5 p.m. on Glen Oaks, in Glendale. And then I was
I
like,
mean, what
"Don't."
was she supposed to do when you're saying don't do anything?
Like, if she like randomly just opened the door from the driver's side, and then cars are passing by, and then I don't know, like you never know. So I
Okay.
said, "Just relax, sit in the car. Let me call the police so we can get a police report and make sure that everything."
Who is the person behind you?
And so the person behind us was an Armenian gentleman, and
Gentlemen.
so I opened my passenger door, just because there's it's just a sidewalk next to us. I opened the passenger door, and then as I'm calling 911, the car behind
You
that hit
call
us
911 for an accident? That's
to get a police report, to get someone out there so they can write a police report. And I'll get into all of that. I used to work at a, anyway, well, I'll get into all that. So anyway, so this car, I see from like the rear view that this car is trying to like leave. So we're on the only, he's trying to like move, make his way out from here to like hit and run, I guess. So I open the door so he doesn't move, and I open the door so then he goes back
How old would you say this guy is?
in his 30s,
Okay.
definitely in his 30s. And he goes back to his car, and then he comes out and he's on the phone. I'm assuming he hit us because he was distracted. He was on the phone. Okay. So on the phone, he's talking to some guy.
And after the accident, he's still on the phone?
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm assuming he was like, what happened, whatever. And he's explaining to him. And he's talking Armenian. And he's like, he's saying things and I'll translate it. He's like, and in more aggressive tone, he's like, oh, nothing. There was this car. Nothing happened. Blah, blah. Like, I just hit this car, whatever. And they're like, they're still in the car. They're sitting, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's calling us, like, names, saying, like, Jahils, whatever, this, that. And he was trying to leave. So I was like, dude, go back in your car. Sit there. I'm calling the police. Let them write a police report just so they know everything that happened. He's like, no, move your car. Get out of here. Nothing happened. And he's trying to move. I'm like, no, bro. Go sit back in your car. And I used to work, like, a backstory on me is I used to work at Albert Abkarian's law firm. And he would do a bunch of, like, accident cases. So I learned a few things about, like, how they turn out and all that stuff. And the first thing that it's... I don't know why I still had these headphones on. The first thing that he's taught me and he tells us to tell all our clients is, do not get out of the car because, God forbid, you're in a place where it's, like, a busy intersection. Call the police. Make sure you get a police report because, again, God forbid, if you don't, and then something happens and that person says that something else happened when it actually didn't, there's no way to prove it. Mm-hmm. And do not move your car because the police have to come and document exactly where it happened.
What if you're in like a dangerous place where it's like you're basically risking your life over proof of you getting hit? Like you're
even if you're on a freeway, you're not...
You're telling me if I'm on the freeway and there's four lanes and I'm in the second lane and I just got hit in the back, I just let it be and like cars going 80 miles per hour.
Turn on your hazards, stay in your car because it's worse if you try to move a car that just got hit a couple lanes going five miles per hour. Or even get out of your car and God forbid, and there has been cases where people have opened the car because of their shock, they get out of the car and then they get hit by another car.
But you're telling me like some guy like that's going 80, 90 miles per hour and I'm in this car, like, you think it's safe? That, like, what if, like, I don't know, like, what if
there's... Well, I mean, this guy is not blind to know that there... Anyway, that's besides the point. You're supposed to stay... You should stay in your car. It's more safe to stay in your car, to not move the car because you don't know if it's running, if it's leaking, whatever happened. Mm-hmm. And to call police and let them come and take care of everything. And let them, because you're not someone to... In any position to write a report. And then... So then, anyway, this guy, while he's on the phone and while I'm on the phone with the officer, I'm trying to, like, listen to what they're saying and I'm telling them where I'm at. This guy's, like, cussing us out in Armenian, saying, like, "I jahil, get out of your car, this, that."
I'm assuming he's using and different words because jahil just means young.
It comes in a more condescending way. Yeah, kind of like when you say it in Armenian, it's obviously much more worse in the tone that you say it in. Yeah. And he didn't know that we were Armenian. He was saying it on the phone. And I swear, I'm like, umes kontrum jay. Like, go back, sit in your car. I'm like, polisem kontrum. I'm calling the cops. Let them come and take care of this. And he gets even more heated. Turns out this guy had already filed a claim with his insurance in New Year's because his car got stolen. He was in a rental car. It was probably a nightmare occurring.
What type of car was it?
It was a Nissan. It was like a Nissan rental car. It was a rental car from Arizona Plates. And it was literally the nightmare of this guy happening in his front of his eyes. So obviously he reacted that way. And the point being, the cops came. The cops showed up. And the cops then got a location wherever it was. They then told us, they escorted us to move to a safer location. We stopped there.
Did you guys take pictures?
Yeah, we took the pictures. The cops took the pictures. Thankfully, nothing happened to us. And, nothing major happened. And nothing major happened to the car at all. The main problem that I had with all this is the way that the police handled the situation. The second that those police officers, they showed up, they saw that it was Armenians, first of all. They did not want to put up with anything. They saw that this guy was like screaming, like talking thing, and at the moment, I told him, I'm like, officer, this guy's kind of like, he's harassing us. I'm, can you take care of him and kind of set him aside so then I can get out of the car? Because he was literally all up in our faces, and he was being very disrespectful. And in Armenian culture, if there's a girl there, you don't cuss, you don't be disrespectful, you respect the women, you don't, you know, you're supposed to like kind of treat them with respect. And that's what really got me mad. Anyway, so what happened was the police came, and then the cop's looking at the car, and he's like, nothing happened here. Everything's fine. I'm like, officer, first of all, I didn't ask you to come here to do an inspection on my car. You're not a mechanic. Can you please just write a police report so we can go about our days? Because there's been so much that since I worked at Albert's firm for about 2 years, there's been so many different cases where, like, if the police doesn't write a report, that this man could tomorrow go bash up his car and then say that we hit him instead. And then they can come back and say to the insurance, and then they just like fuck us up.
Yeah.
So that's why I told him nice. I'm like, officer, can you just please write the report and let us go about our day? No matter what has happened to the car, no matter what has happened to us, everything's fine, we don't need to go to the hospital, this, just write me a report. And this man was patronizing us the whole time. His name was Officer Fletcher, D. Fletcher, and he was such like, I don't know how to even, like, it was more, you have to be there to understand the type of way that this guy patronized us. And I don't blame him, but he had no sympathy whatsoever. Instead of saying like, oh, you guys did the right thing for calling the police to get our police report, it's a good thing that you guys didn't, like, you guys are doing the right steps to call us, making sure, especially when there's a guy harassing us and calling us names and stuff. Instead, he's like, why'd you guys call us? Like, straight up, because he saw, he's like, you guys, I know you guys are going to say that your neck, this hurts. I'm like, officer, excuse me, but I do not care about the couple thousand dollars that I'm getting here. I just need you to write a report, because this one day, if this guy goes and he does something that is not what happened, and it's happened before,
for it.
And this guy straight up was such a, like, an asshole. And excuse me for the name, but and my point going with all this is that very few, I'm not saying all, but Armenians have been known to, in the Glendale community, to cause this stereotype that these now police officers, when you're when you get into an accident, when you're pulled over, it's stereotypical that they think that, oh, they're just gonna do another insurance claim, they're gonna say that their whole they need surgery, whereas, like, or they have to go to the chiropractor, but they're not even gonna see the chiropractor, they're fed up with it.
Yeah.
To the point where it ruins it for all of us. Like, Ani was wearing her USC Pharmacy, like, her lab coat. Like, she came from work, like, professional attire. Like, I'm coming from work, and they're treating us as if we're some thugs just trying to come up a couple thousand dollars and trying to make a scene when there was no scene.
Yeah.
And it was such a, like, shitty situation to be in.
Dude, you can have 100 Armenians that you deal with, like, let's say as a cop, and they're all awesome, right? But yeah, you have, let's say, 5 of them, especially you're in Glendale, so yeah, all you're seeing is Armenians. If you have 5 of them that do this type of, like, bullshit, you don't remember the 95 others, yeah, that were doing, like, a good deed or whatever they were doing. Oh, you remember these 5, and you're like, you just put an entire stereotype. And, dude, the reason you can't blame them is, unless you think logically for a sec that not, like, you can't classify Armenians as this, then you're gonna do that. Whatever race it is, whether it's Armenian, white, Mexican, yeah, yeah, Chinese.
Whenever you put them all together, you're gonna classify them.
Right. So if you say, "Oh, Armenians are this, Chinese are this," because of a few people, unless you consciously say to yourself, "Yo, that's not right," like, they're not all the same.
Yeah.
Like, of this same ethnicity or whatever, yeah, you're gonna do it subconsciously. You are. You have to, like, think to yourself, "Yo, wait, like, a person is a person. The ethnicity doesn't matter." Yeah. You know, like,
and after the fact, the Armenian man that did hit us, he came to us, he's like, "Give me your phone number, please let me know if you're gonna file a claim, call me beforehand, because I already have this insurance claim that my car got stolen." Like,
wait, how long ago was this?
Yesterday.
Oh, shoot. So what are you gonna do?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Unless, like, if something was to seriously actually happen, sure, you would actually do it, because the damage that happened, you would get it back.
How's your back feel?
like I feel great. Like it's not like I don't feel great, but it's not something that I'm gonna continue to screw up that stereotypical thing because we're just because I like, you know what I mean? Like that little ache just for a couple. The headache is not worth it. Like, and we were actually talking about this, and Ani's like, dude, I have school, I have finals, I don't even have a single time. It's not worth it for me to go sit and deal with all this BS when we're trying to do bigger things than just worry about the minimalistic. Make $5,000 from this BS like insurance claim. And after the whole fact, anyway, he came up to me and he said, here's my number, please call me. And then once he realized that we're not people that are going to do anything, he's like, I know someone, don't worry, I'll take you guys to massage, I'll ding your car, I'll wax your car. And I said, listen, I don't want anything from you, just please say sorry to my girl for speaking disrespectfully in front of her like out loud like that. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Ani John, this, that. And he's becoming so friendly now. Yeah, it's his wedding day because the cops didn't say anything. We're nothing. He sees we're not. He's our best friend now. And then I asked the officer, I'm like, officer, do you have a business card on you just so I can have a... He's like, no, I don't have any. I'm like, officer, I need your identification. No, I don't have it on me. Like, can you imagine, like...
Dude, there's good cops, there's good cops and there's bad cops.
And I don't doubt that he's a good cop. It just sucks that... We just had that bad experience.
And you know what it is, man? You can also, like, this guy could be, like, the best cop in the world, but he could have literally just started work, or in the morning he had, like, a argument with his wife. And the thing is, it's like a domino effect, and he's in a pissed off mood, so this pisses him off. Dude, there's been times where, for example, I've been stressed from work, and then, like, I see someone I know, or, like, my mom or my dad or something, and I just go off for a second.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, what the am I doing? Like, she didn't do anything. I was actually worried about this.
Yeah.
Now, but when we're talking about good cop, bad cop, so one time, I was at like a, it was late at night. I want to say like 11 p.m. And I was coming home, and literally I don't know what I was thinking about. Like, I was stressed out. I was thinking about work. Maybe like 2 years ago. So, I'm driving, and then it's like a four-way stop sign, and, I'm not even looking at like these, like that's how far into, like, you know, sometimes don't even know what's going on. Like sometimes you arrive at your destination and you're like, how did I even get here? Yeah. Like you're not even thinking about where you're going because you're so used to where you're going. So I was going home and I had no, like, I don't even think about it. You just know where the direction is. So I'm going and it's a four way. I don't even look. Okay. Luckily there wasn't that many cars like going, or else maybe I would have gone into an accident. You never know.
Yeah.
Anyway, a cop was on one of the stop signs, and it was his turn to go. So he goes, stops, and I go, stop. Without even looking, I don't know why. I never do this, but I just go, and it was his turn. So obviously, like, right in front of his face. So I go, turns his lights on, comes behind me. Yo, what the hell was that? And I'm like, what did I do wrong? I didn't even know. Yeah. I didn't even know it was his turn to go. He's like, it was my turn to go and you went. I'm like,
imagine he's just like butter.
No, and I'm like, I literally, and you could see the natural shock on my face. I'm like, I had no idea. And he literally looked at me, license, registration. He goes, comes back, talks to me for 1 minute. I'm like, sir, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I had a lot on my mind. And he literally goes like, you know, if you try to like say, oh no, officer, I didn't do anything wrong, it was my fault, but I would have given you the ticket. Mm-hmm. He's like, because a lot of times, he was like teaching me a lesson with like how to deal with cops. Like a lot of times when you stop someone, like let's say they're going 80 miles per hour when they're not supposed to, and they're like, no, officer, I was going 60, and you fight it when it's obvious that you weren't, they get pissed off and they give you the ticket.
Yeah.
But if you say, look, I'm so sorry, you're right, officer, blah, 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 and you're nice and you admit to it because they've already seen it, you have a way higher chance of like getting away with it.
I remember I was speeding on the freeway once. It was just late now. I was just trying to get home and I live like 15 minutes away. And then a cop pulled me over. And I know why he pulled me over. He pulled me over because I was speeding. And he's like, do you know why I pulled you over? I'm like, was I speeding, officer? He's like, yeah. And then he's like, do you know how fast you're going? I'm like, I honestly have no idea. I'm like, he's like, guess. I was like, I don't know, 75, 80. He's like, I caught you going like 92 or something. And I'm like, no way. I'm like, I'm so sorry, officer. And then he's like, well, a couple of days ago, there was a huge accident here, blah, 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 drive safe. He's like, I'm going to give you the ticket for going 75, but just know that you're going, because there's like a huge bracket as far as like the, if you're going like 90 or something, it's like $500. I don't know what the price is, but it's huge like jump. So I agree with that. Like if you're just like honest about it, yeah. And saying,
bro, but the thing is, man, like some cars, like I've driven some people's cars where
it just doesn't feel like it.
Bro, like I'm literally going 100 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And it feels like I'm going 60. So unless you're like very like carefully looking at it, because I'm used to my car's way of driving, right? Yeah. So I think a 60 is a 60 in my car. But in someone else's car, 100 felt like a 60. And I'm like, yo, dude, if I got a ticket for this, what would have happened? What happens if I go 100 miles per hour? Do you know?
100 is, I think that's like a misdemeanor or like a felony, actually.
Dude, like, can you imagine? Because
you can kill someone. Well, you can kill someone even going, thing, but
going 30 miles.
100, I think, is considered a felony. And that's like a huge ticket. It's like $1,000.
Untold story, but...
I don't even know?
No, of course you know. You're involved. But one time, we're... I don't even know if you want me to say this, but I shouldn't even want to say this. But one time, we were going to Teddy's house, and... I want to say we were going a little faster than the speed limit. Let's say the speed limit was like 30. We were going like 60.
It was like 45.
Mind you, we were like 17, 18 years old. Okay.
Oh, my God.
And so we were kind of like, we weren't racing. We were just teasing. a little teaser to each other. And mind you, this guy had a G35 and I had a Honda Accord. Like, there's no way I could keep up with this guy, right? But I was he was pissing me off. So I was just trying to keep up. So... he makes a left to his house, and I don't know if this angle could see it. He makes a left to his house, and I try to, like, squeeze in before he makes that left.
Oh, my God. I'm getting, like, PTSD.
And literally, it just goes like this, and, like, maybe we, like, turn... like
we easily made, like, a 360 turn.
Yeah, like, 360 like together, turn.
It was, like, a drift kind of
bro, and, in motion. And we get out, and I'm like, and back at 17 years old, I wasn't working. I wasn't really paying for my own. So I'm like, oh my God, my dad's gonna kill me.
Bro,
like,
we freaked out.
Bro, I'm like, my dad's gonna kill me.
I remember I freaked out so hard. Okay,
Teddy freaked out. And since we were next to his house, he's like, yo, I'm gonna run. I have to like get my, like, okay, mind you, we're 17. I have to get my dad. Like, he can handle this because we had no experience. So we're like, yo, he's like, I'm gonna go get my dad. I'm like, yo, Ted, chill the fuck out for 1 second. Let me try to like understand what the hell's going on, how I can explain this to my parents. Yeah. And he's like, no, I can't wait, blah, blah, blah.
You
and
know why? Because my parents were out for dinner with their friends. And then, I don't know, I think I was like, I'm thinking like, they're probably going to go. And it was at the bottom of our street and it's a cul-de-sac. And they're going to come and they're going to see two of our cars. Like, they have to, yeah, like, it was such a scary situation.
I can't say I wouldn't do the same. I would probably do the same thing if I was in your position, but... in my end, I'm like, yo, dude, how am I figuring this out? Like, I knew it was my fault, but how can I, like, make it so it's like, dad, like, understand what the hell just went on, right? And so, I remember you went and told your dad, and he's like, go figure it out or something. What did he do?
He was so, like, he hung up the phone on me. He was because I ruined their night. Because, he's like, why the fuck?
And, like, and mind you, at that age, we were very annoying. Like, I don't know if other people still think we're annoying, but times up by 10.
Oh, my God.
And we're very annoying. So, imagine, like, telling our parents that. They're like, bro, one time I got into a four-car accident, but that's a different story.
Oh, my God. That was...
I remember
that night an ambulance came or like a cop or something.
Yeah, we called 911 or something.
No, they just were passing by.
That's right.
And then we're like, dude, don't worry about it. We're taking care of this on our own. He just gave us the card. He's like, let us know if you need anything.
Bro, but I was freaking out.
That was so bad, dude. And oh my God, I remember that was like my baby,
dude. That's why, like, you see, like, a lot of people like want to, like, let's say, make money to be able to like buy nicer things and stuff like that, right? Dude, I literally just want money, so when stuff like that happens, all I care about is, are we okay? I don't want to worry about, oh my God, how am I gonna pay this? Sure, insurance pays it, but oh my God, my insurance is gonna go higher. Like, bro, just the day-to-day for me of being relaxed that if something were to happen, right, and I need to pull out a couple $1,000 for an emergency, I can, you know?
Yeah. To me, like, in situations like that, money is not the thing that even affects me in any way. It's how it's handled. Like, this yesterday, if the cop handled it a better situation, or like the fact that me and you as like friends, that happened, how we handled it, and we're talking about it today.
You're,
and like,
saying money doesn't matter at that situation, right? But it also depends on what state you're at right now. For example, right now, like money wouldn't affect the situation. I would care about what you cared about right now, right? But at 17 years old, like when I'm dead broke and something like that happens, obviously after health, it's like, yo, what the hell am I going to do? How am I going to explain this?
Okay, well, let's talk, that doesn't relate to like an accident, because if you have insurance, which you should.
Okay, insurance goes up.
Your insurance goes up, sure. Like
crazy. Do you know how high my insurance went?
Yeah, it was like
a couple $1,000s for like another 3 years. Can you imagine? And yeah. I'm not paying that. Like, hey, dad, here you go. Happy birthday. Like, yeah. Can you imagine? That sucks. So just be careful, I guess. Dude, when, like, comparing how I drive now versus how I was driving 16, 17, like, I used to have an Integra that was about $2,000, 1997, and it had a when I bought it, it had a muffler dealie on it. So some other person was like, "Yo, I'm gonna put this on it." I guess they think it sounds cool, but it sounded like it was my car was farting. Yeah. But I was 16, 17 years old, just got it. I was going 120 miles per hour on that. Like I had people in there, and I would, like, they would literally, like, yo, Matt, I don't want to be in your car because you're driving too reckless. And I thought I was so cool in an Integra. Like, what am I doing? Now, I literally drive, like, 65 miles per hour without even, like, realizing or trying. That's just what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I remember even me, like, going from that, like, G35, and then I got like an M3. It was like a BMW at some point, and like I was like, yeah, nice, dude, we're gonna like drive a nice car, go fast and stuff. But now it's like I appreciate the car itself, but I feel like I'm so, like, I would never, me and you drive the same car, and like I feel like a grandpa sometimes.
The only problem for me is like when I have a kid, the main ages that I'm going to be worried about this guy is like from 14 to like 23. Because before 14, this guy is like pretty much staying at home, doing everything with me. After 23, if he doesn't understand his shit by then, that's his fault. Or I raised him wrong. But that 14 to 23 age, that rebellious stage.
Very scary.
It's just like, I don't give a shit what my parents are saying. I'm going to do me. I don't care if my parents said, yo, learn from my mistake, because no one wants to learn from their parents' mistake. They want to make their own mistakes and learn from their own experiences.
Yeah.
So,
which I don't know. That's such a thing topic. Like, my dad always says, like I've lived my life so you don't have to experience the same mistakes that I've made. But then again, it's like we go and we do the same mistakes.
But imagine,
like, if you listen to what they said. And they said, for example, listen, don't drive 80 miles, don't go over 80. And like, let's say you or whatever, it's other things. And then you'd be like the perfect human being.
No, you wouldn't at all. Let me tell you why. I've, hypothetically speaking, I've had my cuts and bruises where I could have avoided it if I listened to my dad. Okay. Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
But if I didn't go through those things, okay, then I would not be able to face the stuff, for example, at this age that I'm dealing with, because I wouldn't know how to handle it. I don't know if you've seen, what's this new show? Black Mirror. Have you seen the one where the girl gets something installed in her brain where she doesn't see, like...
she's in a VR kind of thing? Or
no, she gets something... It's the newest season. She gets something installed in her brain.
Oh, I haven't seen the new
season yet. So basically, she gets something installed in her brain at like age 5. Where her mom put it there, so she doesn't see stuff that alarms her. You understand what I'm saying? So if it's like it takes her dopamine levels higher, she gets surprised, it blurs out. Okay, it's a cool show, Black Mirror. You guys should watch it. But basically, if you're walking and you see a dog barking and you get scared, if the chick is looking at it, the girl's looking at it, it's like a blur in her head. It's a blur, so she doesn't see it. Okay, if people are having there was a scene where someone was watching porn and she couldn't see it, so nothing she could see. She lived like a very incredible soft life, right? Yeah. Like everything just like tender loving care, right? And then at some point when she's like 15 or something, they take it out and she doesn't know how to handle it. You know, it's like very trippy. So it's just like that. So
imagine, I think they're trying to make like a analogy for when you let your parents are gone and like.
No, I think it's like let your child live their life. They have to go through some of it. Accidents happen. But
how do you then how do you grow? Like how do you make growth? Like how do you? What's the point of? The point of like our parents' lives is what, just to create us?
Absolutely not. They have to lead us in the right direction. Listen, I know not to do heroin, right? Like, I've learned not to do heroin. I've learned, like, the obvious... I know not to...
But it's not because your parents told you. It's because you just...
Whoever may have taught me. Yeah. But my parents have taught me things where I've learned from them. But there's things that you can't tell me not to do and experience on my own. There's just some things that I have to do. You know, like, yeah. I know it might be wrong for me to do, or it might be like my parents have already done it, I shouldn't do it, but it's like I'm so curious that I have to do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, most of these talks have with when I speak with my dad is more like business, like moves. And he tells me, he's like, oh, don't do this move because it doesn't work, try this way. But I always see there's like this barrier of time where back 20 years, some years ago, or 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, that thing might have not worked and it didn't work for you. But today, if I do it this way, it could work. You know, I agree that you should sometimes pave your own path and do make your own decisions. But I also feel like it should always be in the back of your head. Like,
no, of course, bro. If you don't listen to most of the stuff your parents say, you're probably a dumbass. Like, but here's the thing. For example, when I first started my e-commerce journey, for example, right?
Yeah.
So I had very little help and I was just going into this like head first and I'm like, I'm just going to do it. Okay. And excuse me. So I'm like, yo, dad, I'm going to do this. I'm going to drop a couple $1,000 on this, like pretty much my life savings. And he's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you're not going to sell this. Like, what? You're going to sell like one a day, make like $5, and you're putting this much money in it? Man, don't do it. Try to find like a actual career. Focus on that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, listen, dad, you're wrong here. You're wrong. I know the potential. People are making $500,000 a month. And I'm like, you're not stopping me, okay?
Yeah.
So I go, I do it. I fail a bunch of times. A couple months pass. I start making money. I start making a little bit more money. And then my dad's like, yo, what the hell is going on? You know, and slowly, slowly, slowly until this point where he doesn't even question it. I can drop blank amount of money and he wouldn't even care, like blink twice, because he's like, okay, he knows what he's doing, you know? Yeah. And that's allowed me to develop, because if I, let's say, went the route that he chose, I would have never been able to figure something right now, I honestly feel like I can handle or do any business I want. Why? Not because I'm super smart. I don't think that at all. It's literally just because I've done this. I've structured it in a way. Now, it might be different from another business, but I know that I've failed here, right? But I went like this and then I succeeded.
Yeah.
So if I fail in another business that I do, I'll just maneuver and I'll figure it out.
I think subconsciously when the parents are saying like, don't do this, they're saying do it, but prove me wrong.
Maybe.
And I feel like, and it's always been that way, where like they say it so much, we're like, man, I have to just prove them wrong now. And then you just do whatever it takes, as opposed to letting it, obviously it comes from like a loving place, but like, it's always been like, it's more of a push for me than it is than like setback.
There's a very fine line, man, because like if my son wanted to be a basketball player, right?
Yeah. It fuels them though. Like it feels like let's say your son wants to be a basketball player, and you're like, dude, you're not gonna be a basketball player. It fuels him when he's on the court. Like even though he might not be a basketball player, but he'll fucking try his very best until he's literally like sweat and tears just on the floor, and then he sees himself that I'm not gonna be a basketball, but he will be the best basketball player that he could have been because he's like, I have to fucking do it now.
Then,
just to, like
then there comes the thing of like, how much time have you wasted?
I don't think there's any such thing as like wasting time in that sense, when you're doing something that you truly wanted to do, and then if it didn't work, then you gave it all.
I guess there's no right or wrong, but there's no doubt that time is limited, correct? So if I'm chasing this app that I want to build,
I don't know about you,
if I'm chasing this app that I want to build and it takes me 7 years and I fail and I turn 30 years old, right?
Yeah.
And I finally realized, yo, this is not for me. I'm 30. I'm starting from ground zero again while everyone around me is succeeding. You can't deny the fact that I'm behind, dude.
Well, yeah. Yeah, there's always like the uncertainty of something. Sure.
But I mean, honestly,
how does someone beat that?
It's worth it, man. I honestly think it's worth it. Like, even though like I'm being, what's the H word? hypocrite. Even though I'm being a hypocrite, it's like even if I failed in my business, man, I know we talked about this already before, but like I wouldn't care, man. It's that fuel, that drive, that passion that you have when you wake up in the morning and you like do what you want to do, that feels so good. And when you finally accomplish it, man, it feels so good. Like just proving people wrong.
The setback of the times when it doesn't happen. Dude, and then the setback that it hits you, and then sometimes it like literally just throws you back so much where it's like that motivation to grow again, to start it again. It's like, imagine 7 years you're trying to build this app and it doesn't work at 30. Like, what's the motivate? Like, you can never settle then again and just go and work never be happy.
I mean, this is the cliche, but I mean, what they say, fall 7 times, get back up 8. Dude, you just have to. Life is a game and there's no end. You can't get to $100 million and say, yo, I'm done. You can't get to $1 million and say, I'm done. It's a game. Why do you think someone like...
But take away money from all of this topic.
That's what I'm saying. So if you take away money from this...
Yeah.
You would do what you love every single day, whether you fail at it or not. The primary thing that's stopping you is money, right? Yeah. Because you're like, oh, I have to have this much money so I can have a family, blah, blah, blah. So imagine...
Purpose, I feel like.
So your purpose is a thing that you, let's say, fail at, but let's say you maneuver and you do it in a different way, as opposed to, I say money is important to me, so I go a route that I don't want to take, but I know it's guaranteed money. Yeah. Right, so that if money were not in the way, everyone would do their passion, because what else is there besides, what are the two things that people chase? Money, right, to support themselves,
happiness.
And if it's not that, happiness. And where does happiness come from? Your purpose. So that's it. There's two things: happiness/purpose and money.
Well, money is more of a tool to survive. I feel like that's all it is.
Right.
It's like back in the days, it was like, if you can hunt meat and bring meat to the table, you're surviving. Dude, now it's like, you just got to make the money to survive.
Do you know what it is, man?
But it's just like how much meat we're eating.
For me, it's like one of my ways of succeeding is making more money, okay? But I don't see this as a bad thing. It's because, like I said, I'm a minimalist person. I need literally maybe like a couple hundred, let's say $1,000 a month to survive, okay? Yeah. I can make $100 a day, or I can make $1 million a day, and I'll still want to make more money. Not because I need it to buy an extra Gucci belt. I need it because it's like, it's proving to myself that I'm progressing.
You understand? Insecure?
No, like just I have to progress in some way. Yeah. Now, of course, I'm not saying this is the only way I'm progressing. I progress in my happiness, my relationships, in my faith, whatever, right? But this is one way of succeeding as well. And so like, Warren Buffett doesn't say in his business, I succeeded because today I felt better. He succeeded that day because, let's say, his stocks went up or he created something new, right? Mm-hmm. And that ultimately equaled to more money. And that's a way of succeeding. So you can't look at money as a bad thing, because
I don't see money as a bad thing.
You might not need it, but it's like a tally in a way.
Yeah, like I said, it's how much you're trying to eat, like if we're talking back in the days. But I don't see money as a bad thing, but I also see it as like, I can get that fulfillment, let's say, through a happy relationship. That money is a tool to keep this relationship.
Yeah.
To put a house, a roof over our heads, to get like food on the table and all that stuff. That's money. But going to the gym and working out on myself, that requires just a gym membership, or not even that. I can go like to a park, but seeing that like fulfillment in the mirror when you look at yourself, that's another like achievement, as opposed to like, it's not monetarily. Like, there's no amount there. But
I just want to say something before we wrap up. And this is very random, but I've always wanted to say this because I used to do this. And then at some point, I'm like, what the f*** am I doing? So, you know how, like, you'll look... Bro, it even pisses me off when I say this. You know how when you look at the gas price, and then let's say it says $3.14, right? And then somewhere you know that you saw maybe 3 miles that way is... What did I say? 319?
314.
314. Somewhere else is like 309. Okay. Yeah. It's a 5 cent difference.
I've never understood this.
I used to do this because it was like ingrained in my brain. So it's 5 cents difference. 5 cents times, let's say you put 15 gallons in.
Max.
What is that? A dollar? 75 cents? Jesus Christ. 75 cents. Okay. 75 cent difference And you wasting, first of all, it's 2 miles there, 2 miles back, 4 miles, and let's say a good 10, 15 more minutes of your day. Yeah. Dude,
I never understood
75,
that.
If you really think about it for 1 second, 75 cents, I don't care if you make $5 an hour, okay? I don't care if you make $5 an hour. It's not worth that 75 cents to go in the opposite direction, to waste your time, to bother yourself, and go fill it up there and come back home. Dude, I used to do this. I'm telling you straight up. I used to do this with like I was like 17, 18, whatever.
I feel like our parents have always done that.
Yeah. So, and they always would say, yo, like, find a cheaper one and put that. You know, but if you really freaking think about it for a sec, bro, like, it's like, bro, what am I doing? Like, for 75 cents, I'm annoying myself. I'm negating myself, right? Negating myself to go and do stupid like that. Also, other stuff too, like,
what grinds my gears,
bro? If there's a sale, there's there's the meat is 20 cents off at John's versus Ralph's. Yeah. Okay, I go to Ralph's John instead because it's 20 cents cheaper, and I buy a couple pounds. I save $2.
Yeah,
who cares, bro? And I'm not coming from a place like, oh, like money. Who cares about money? Yeah. But I'm talking about the time versus the money.
No, you know? I agree. The gas station thing, the only thing that I've ever been taught is like Arco shit, for example, because they mix it, I don't know, like with water. That's what, as for like,
mix it with water?
I think, I don't know, some shit that are like, they're not like, it's not good for your engine. Chevron, shout out Chevron. But I think, I don't know if it's like a, this is like a conspiracy kind of thing, but I feel like it's, these are just like things to, how do you say, like, to entertain, not entertain, entertain is not the right word, but it's like just to like entertain your brain and your mind, just to like forget about everything else and just think like, oh, today I got 20 cents off my meat, bro, for example.
It pisses me off because I'm trying to like, I'm like, whoever's watching this currently, let's say it's more, let's say Glendale, more Armenians. I'm not speaking like, like, I'm up here and I'm like, yo, you guys should do this. I'm speaking like straight up something that I've observed.
Yeah.
The way like I've been able to succeed is literally just focusing on the bigger picture, man. Like, I know this sounds cliche, man, and I'm trying to get this across in the best way possible. But it's like, dude, if I know that this is $5 and this is $6 somewhere else, I don't care about that dollar because I'm gonna use that brain power that I have for that day, because you only have a limited amount of, let's say, self-control brain power for that day, right? But if you notice, if you go throughout the night, right, in the morning it's the strongest, and by night it's weakest, right? So use that brain power to think of something to do that you can duplicate it to make money while you sleep, as opposed to saving 60 cents that day. Because if you save 60 cents today, for the rest of your life, by the time you're dead, it ain't, okay? But I can think of something in 2 days that will make more money than that 60 cents every day for the rest of my life.
To back up that like statement you're saying, the new generation, which is us, I don't think we do that.
We do, man. We do. Subconsciously, we do. You don't think
so? I don't see. It's more so like people who've came here from, like, whether it's Armenia or Iran or whatever, and maybe that's just like that's just the way that it, like, I don't know, maybe that's just something that is like a bonus or like whatever.
I'm not talking about just the gas price thing. I'm talking about small stuff, like,
I understand, but people enjoy that. That's, they see that as a meaning of life, as opposed to like
they think some, that until they do something else.
But you're too, like, you're too hung up on the money situation.
But it's not just the money. Let's just say, dude, like, real talk, success, in a way, you, like, money, like, controls that in a way. If you take out, I'm not a relationship guy. I'm not a happiness guy. I'm not a meditation guy to give advice on. But, like, when it comes to money, like, I know what I'm talking about. Like, and I'm not even trying to show off, but I know what I'm talking about. Like, I was able to go from zero to up real quick.
9,507.
I was able to do that. And the only way I was able to do that is not, like I said, bro, I honestly don't think, like, I'm smarter than anyone else, man. I honestly don't. But I think that I'm very adaptive in terms of understanding that you don't, this shit don't work, or stop focusing on it and focus on this. And that 180 literally changed my life, man. Like, just being able to focusing on the stuff that matter, like small stuff in your head, like every day when you wake up and you see, for example, like, dude, I used to be so OCD. Like, if my phone was like this, it would have to be like this, okay? And you might say, okay, whatever, that everyone has some OCD. But I'm like, yo, if I can fix this OCD and instead of leaving it like this, like, let it be like this, and now I don't care, right? No, but like, if it's not like that, bro, then no. But a little stuff like that saves me time, and I'm like, yo, with that time I could do this.
It doesn't save that's like obviously like a 0.00 second of your time, but it saves your energy in your mind.
Exactly. I'm just giving an example. So hold up, so I've learned, for example, that meditation is extremely helpful for you because like it does wonders for you, right? Whether it's your stress, whether it's your self-control, whatever it is, we'll get to that. Nice. It helps. So I do that. I do 10 minutes of that a day because I know it helps. So 10 minutes a day of that, right? Take the time out of my day to improve the rest of my day. It helps. So I do that. I learned yoga is good for you. Now I do that twice a week, you know? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. Like, I know exercise is good for me because it gives me more energy throughout the day. Things like that, understand it and do it.
Yeah. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the beginning of this podcast. Is like, you get into an accident and then you have to deal with the lawyer, the insurance, the this, that, to what, come up $5,000. And during that whole like 6 month period, every day you're on the phone with the lawyer, you're on the phone with the chiro. Did you go to the appointment? Did you do this?
Headache,
do this?
Time.
You're literally focusing your entire like energy on this one little thing that's going to give you probably $5,000, $10,000. Let's say $50,000 maximum, like you're going to get whatever.
Relax, man. If it's $50,000.
Yeah, it's not $50,000, but...
Right,
there's
right.
Been
cases. I understand what you're saying.
That's just like, even Patrick said this himself. It's like everybody's like, whether it's insurance, whether it's credit card, whether it's this, that, it's all things that do not move you forward. Sure, okay, I came up $50,000. Okay, what am I going to do with this? I'm going to go blow it. I'm going to go buy a car. I'm going to go do this. But what is it going to do to move us forward? Not just me, us all together. How are we going to be able to move all of us forward to further our generation further our like technology and all that?
So we laughed at one thing. It was the weather thing. So another thing, for example, I improve. I'm doing a podcast, right? So I'm speaking on a regular basis. So I have to be able to improve my speaking, right? I mean, if you go... look at episode one versus now, I'm sure you'll see we've improved.
How's the weather today, man?
So I've noticed that both of us in a way sometimes like mumble our words, so it's not very clear, we don't enunciate it. So I looked it up, and a good thing to practice was tongue twister. So I learned this tongue twister, which you can also use if you like speak somewhere or whatever the but it's not called something, but this is what it is. It's whether the weather is cold or whether the weather is hot, whatever the weather... Whether the weather is cold or whether the weather is hot, or whether the weather, whatever the weather, whether we like it or not. So it's a tongue twister and helps you. And another other one is...
If Stu choose shoes... Should Stu choose the shoes he chooses?
Whatever the f*** it is, it's a tongue twister, and we're learning it because the reason we're learning is because I adapted. I understood that, yo, we have to get better at this. People that do podcasts that we look up to have great enunciation, and we have to get better at that. So we're learning that. So
I'm especially saying, when we're speaking so fast and like
right.
So
we have to learn things like that to be able to enunciate, right? And small things like that, if I didn't think to myself, yo, how can I improve, I wouldn't. I would just still be talking like this, blah, 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 right? Like you wouldn't understand.
Calm down. We weren't.
But my point being is just be aware of your surroundings and see how you can improve your life every single day. Don't waste your time on things that don't matter.
the small things, yeah. The small, like, whether it's gas, we've all done that, it's relatable. Whether it's sales, unless it's a crazy ass sale where it's like you're literally getting like 75% off and like it's worth the time putting in, or even small, like I was so disappointed in how the whole accident thing, just the whole situation of all that, I wasn't disappointed in the officer, like the cop. I mean, he just was fed up, and that comes from like those few stories, that the few cases that's happened where he's had a bad experience, and because of that there's been a stereotype for that. Let's clean that. It's not just accidents, it's not just thing. Let's try to focus more on bigger picture things. Let's focus more on whether it's not the money. It's everybody, sure, they think, I think I don't know, people get distracted by quick money. So when you think like, oh man, I can make some quick money now, they get so distracted, but they don't know that that distraction is a bigger distraction than what they thought it was going to be easy. Yeah. Like, it's not just, oh, man, I'm just going to call my insurance and I'll get money. Or like, oh, these fires happened. Oh, let me call my fire insurance and claim that my entire house burned down or something like that. Or like, it's all, it's, you don't understand that there's thousands of phone calls. There's every day. There's headaches. What if this happens? What if it goes this way? It's better to focus that time and energy and your mind of more clear thoughts than like.
And one last thing I wanted to say. I know it seems like if I was watching something like this, unless I actually like told myself, yo, chill out for a second, I'd be like, yo, who the are these guys trying to give advice, right? Like, if you're my age, you're older than me, whatever it is, and you're like, yo, who's Medvin trying to give me this advice, whatever. Okay, that's fine. If you're like that, you'll never learn and you'll never adapt. You, like I said previous podcast that I can learn from a 10-year-old because he might know something. He might have experienced something in his life that I haven't. So I'll gladly listen if it's helpful, right? So don't think of it as like, you're my age, you can't help me. You don't, you know as much as me. I know more than you. Whatever it is, if you do that, then you will not learn. I learn from everyone wherever I go. Mm-hmm. And even if me and Ted were alone sitting here without being live, we would talk like this and we would learn from each other. Part of the reason we're like this is because our group of friends were very open and we talk amongst ourselves like, how can we improve? And none of us say, yo, I know more than you, I make more money than you, I do more this than you, so you can't help me. We all help each other. I've learned stuff from like all these guys in e-commerce.
Speaking of even that, cryptocurrency, how like we the other day we had, for example, Argishtan, and he talked about the whole cryptocurrency market.
Yeah, I mean, before
we
that,
learned, we had nothing, no idea anything about it, and then he told us some stuff about it. We learned, and now we invested some.
Yeah, I mean, before Algo came on, I didn't even invest, and I'm giving credit to Algo because he reassured me, like, yo, I can invest in crypto. And I mean, probably not a great time to talk about it because all markets are down, but yeah, this is a good time, hodl, right? But after he spoke on that, like, I went and, like, after I did a little bit more research, I actually put some money into it. So things like that, man. And on a better note, Teddy has great news. He got A1A TED sold.
Oh, nice.
And what else?
So as you guys know, other than the podcast, I'm a real estate agent. And just recently, I got a new phone number. It's called 818 TED sold.
It's called.
Not college, it's just 818 TED sold. So if you're ever stuck anywhere and that's the only number that comes to your mind, I don't mind, call me. But for any of your home buying experiences, whether it's buying or selling, 818 TED sold. And also I got TEDsold.com. Yeah.
So they're all linked.
Yeah, and we just closed escrow on one of our deals. So
sick. So hit up Ted for all your real estate needs. Hit up Algo for all your crypto needs. And hit me up for all your e-commerce needs. So with that said, guys.
Sponsored by.
I think that's
subscribe,
it.
Guys. Subscribe. Oh, I think we're up to like 161,000. Last we just checked. 161,000 minutes watched. We're about almost subscribers, which hell yeah, that's crazy.
So
we would have never thought that, like,
yeah,
I think before even doing this we said to ourselves, dude, even if we get 50 views an episode, we're gonna keep going at it.
Yeah
And that's crazy.
I just feel like even if it's not just us, with the people we bring on, whether we're live or not, we learn from them. Like,
yeah,
even if we like weren't live, for example, how much we've learned from Patrick, how much we learned from Ogo, how much we learned from Tony.
I think
Tony, how
this
much
just gave us an excuse to open arms more and be forced every week. We need to bring someone on, learn from them.
Bring stability, new information, of
definitely
course, man.
And how much have we learned? Like, literally, from Patrick, we learned so much. From Ogo, learned so much. From Tony last week, we learned so much. Like, all of our guests, we learn everything that we can, and we want to share that with you guys. So if you guys appreciate what we're doing, please hit the subscribe button, smash the like button.
And on iTunes, if you go on vibespodcast.com, it directs you straight up to iTunes.
Yeah.
Please leave a review. And listen, at the end of the day, whether the weather be cold or whether the weather be hot, we'll weather the weather, whatever the weather, whether we like it or not. And from the Vibes guys,
yeah,
Ted and Med,
we're out.
We're out. Peace.
Thank you. Bye.